Because God, no matter what the price, no matter what the cost, it is our most sincere desire to walk closer to you. Again, we pray it. Hear our prayer. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Thank you, honey. I don't orchestrate the meetings. By that I mean I don't go to the song leader and say, listen, tonight in preparation for the song, why don't you sing this song? Now, I've had song leaders come to me with tender hearts and willing hearts to serve, and I think very sincere. And I said, Brother Souza, if you'll tell me what you're going to be preaching on each night, I'll get all the songs to revolve around that. My answer is always the same. You do what God tells you to do, and I'll do what God tells me to do, and it'll work out just fine. You're going to see that to be true tonight. Sometimes, I don't know, I get to feeling like that fellow's driving home from work. His wife called him. And she says, honey, where are you? He says, well, I'm on the highway. Oh, honey, be careful. It's all over the news. You got some jerk on the highway going the wrong way. He says, oh, no, honey, not one. There's hundreds of them. Sometimes I wonder, you know, in our opposition to the sinners, where they feel like you're going the wrong way. But we're not when you're walking with Jesus. Tonight, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm number 91. As I made mention, I don't have set series of sermons I preach everywhere I go. I don't say, well, the first time in the church I have these messages I'm going to preach, and if I ever go back, I'll do series 2, and if I ever go back, I'll do series 3. I just don't do that. I don't know what I'm going to preach until the time comes. I mean, I'm prepared to go a lot of different ways, and I pray over it, and I'm longing, and I'm wanting very sincerely to do what God wants me to do. But I see something this week that God, I never saw. I don't think I've ever preached these messages like this as I have this week. You remember Sunday school again? I hope you heard. See, they're not just insulated, isolated services. That one's over. Okay, let's do the next. No, they blend together. They build on each other. And they minister to us as they integrate into our life. In Sunday school, we talked about the veil. Remember that? How the veil opened and we were able to enter the Holy of Holies. Then we talked about the cross on Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, the two words of Jesus. I want you to say them again because they're vital that we remember them. What was the command of Jesus? The two words were what? Follow me and I will make you. We saw how God wanted to make us. Then Monday night, the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Sometime I'll go in Christian bookstores and I'll see all the how-to books. I'm not, folks, don't get me wrong. We learn from each other. We help each other. I don't mean that. How to do this, how to do that. I don't know if I've ever seen a book that says how to be holy. It seems to be mechanical, how to build your Sunday school, how to run your bus ministry. And we need help in those areas. Don't misunderstand me. But more than all the how-tos and all the mechanics, what we need is the power of God upon us. That the world took note of these men, that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. The greatest compliment you will ever receive in your life is not how smart you are, not how good of a job you are, but how people can look at you and say, you've been with Jesus. That his image is stamped in your heart and stamped in your life. Then Tuesday, we looked at the tragedy of many Christians and their faith, that our faith is not as strong as it could be as it should be. And then on Wednesday, how God touched us. Such a full altar. Such tender hearts. In everything, give thanks. Not thanks for things, but in everything, give thanks. And then Thursday we talked, does God give a second chance? That was a yes and no. Remember that? No, he doesn't always. Yes, he does sometimes. And then last night we looked at the second death. I tossed greatly last night, not because the bed was uncomfortable, not because my brother and sister are having a big party next door and making a lot of noise. Not because the cats kept jumping on my bed. No, no, no. But I said, God, preacher, you'll understand this. Folks, I don't know if you'll understand this or not. Sometimes a preacher gets convicted of his own preaching. It's like when he's preaching, God is saying, uh-huh, Susan, uh-huh, uh-huh. Are you hearing that, Susan? Are you hearing that? Last night I tossed, I turned back and forth thinking about that reality of the second death. Not just hell, because hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And tonight now, as we gather here on a Saturday night, in Psalm number 91, perhaps tonight the message that's most needful of all. Most of the Psalms we understand were written by David. We understand that. It says many times above the Psalm, a Psalm of David, a Psalm of David, a Song of David, over and over. But not all Psalms are written by David. Some Psalms are written by Moses. For instance, Psalm 90 was written by Moses. That was Moses' Psalm. Moses wrote that Psalm. David, the shepherd boy, did not. I believe Psalm 91, our text tonight, was also written by Moses, although it does not ascribe to him, and actually no particular author is mentioned in Psalm number 91. But when we look at Psalm 91, we see how it parallels Deuteronomy 32 and Deuteronomy 33. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The devil hates this psalm. He hates all the word of God. But in particular, this psalm shows so much of the security and the hope of the believer. And this psalm, as we read tonight, portrays all the security we have in our salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you will recall in the temptation when in Luke chapter number 4, the devil came to Jesus after Jesus was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights being tempted of the devil. Can you imagine that? Being tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights relentlessly over and over and over and over again. Folks, I'll tell you, I don't want to wrestle with the devil 40 seconds, let alone 40 days and 40 nights. The temptations recorded for us in Luke's Gospels comes at the end of that 40-day period. It wasn't just three temptations that are spoken there. It's 40 days, constantly. Very little rest. Jesus didn't eat. After the 40 days, the devil said, "Command these stones to be made bread." How hungry Jesus must have been. But he was more hungry to do what was right in the eyes of God than to satisfy the needs of his flesh. And he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And the devil says, "Cast thyself down. For it is written," the devil says, "I can quote the Bible too." And he quotes a passage here from Psalm number 91 in verse number 11. "Go ahead, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. What do you have to worry about? The Bible says he shall give his angels charge over thee." And only thing is, the devil left off part of the verse. Maybe he thought he had a new improved version. And he left off part of the verse, "The will of God to keep thee in all thy ways." In this psalm tonight, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place. What's the secret place tonight? Where is the secret place? How can we find the secret place? Why is it a secret tonight? "For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We've been talking about getting close to God. We've been talking about getting closer to God. How much closer can you get than to walk in his shadow? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place is not teaching a Sunday school class. The secret place is not standing in the pulpit. The secret place is not running a bus route. The secret place is not even winning souls. What is that secret place? What does it mean to dwell in the secret place under the shadow of the Almighty? I don't know about you tonight, but I have a desire to be that close to God, to be in his shadow. Can you imagine bright spotlight shining here, and say your pastor's up here on the platform, and that bright spotlight is casting a shadow. And they say, "I want to be in the shadow." First of all, I have to get close to him. I can't be in his shadow sitting in the pew back there, or on the other side of the auditorium. I have to be close to him. And then to stay in his shadow, when he moves, I move. To stay in his shadow, not to go my way, but to stay in his shadow. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is that secret place? It may surprise you tonight. It's so simple, I almost hesitate even to mention it, because you're going to say, oh, Brother Susan, that's not deep at all. That's not the depth of Scripture, delving into the depths. No, it's simple. It's plain. But sometimes I find that the simple things are the hardest things to do. What is that secret place? I think we have an answer from Jesus himself to find that secret place. Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of men. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. That's a good verse just to think about for a moment. Why do you do what you do for God in this church? Do you do it for the praise of man? Do you do it for the idea of being really appreciated? I have people come to me and say, you know, I've been in that church 40 years, and in 40 years I never got a certificate of appreciation. In 40 years I never got a thank you. In 40 years nobody ever acknowledged all that I did in those 40 years. Yeah. Why do you do what you do? For the praise of man? To be seen by man? To have the loud of man upon you and to have a certificate. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with honoring faithful people. I understand that. There's nothing wrong. We have a church member that's been a member of the church, you know, for 70, 80, 90 years. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. And there's nothing wrong with honoring people that have given so much of their time and talent to the work of the ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the person doing the honor. I'm talking about the person that wants the honor. Why do you do what you do? Jesus said, be careful. You don't do your alms before men to be seen of men. Otherwise, you have no reward. If you're doing it down here to get the pat in the back, well, our church couldn't survive without you. Well, God bless you. If that's what you're doing it for, guess what? Jesus said right here, don't expect anything in heaven. You did it for praise down here. You got your reward. You're done. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do it in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. What is the secret place tonight? The secret place, I believe, Jesus wants us to know tonight is something that many of you have experienced about a week ago, yesterday, and today. Didn't you not, if I understand correctly, didn't you have a chain of prayer? Was it 48 hours? Right? Which would mean that a week ago, right now, some of you were praying. That was your time slot. A week ago. Some of you last night were praying last night. That was your time slot. And someday after this meeting is over, a week ago, going on 9, 10, 11, up to midnight hour, have your time. I'm going to preach tonight on the importance of that secret time with God in prayer. So simple, isn't it? But yet, so vital. Because he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place is your one-on-one personal time with the Almighty God. I'm not talking about family prayer. I'm not talking about prayer at meals. Those things are gimmies. I'm talking about you alone, individually, getting alone with God. That sweet devotional time. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How much time do we actually spend alone with God in the secret place? You know, I never met a man or a woman that was a great prayer warrior that thought they were a great prayer warrior. You know, humility. Humility is something like, to be humble, let me put it like this. If you think you're humble, you're not. Right? Proud people think they're humble. Oh, preacher, one thing about me, you're going to find me. I'm humble. That's what I am. I'm humble. I'm proud of it. That's the attitude. Proud people think they're humble. Humble people see too much pride in their life. It's so easy to be puffed up, isn't it? And to puff ourselves up tonight. He that dwelleth in the secret place, that personal devotional time. Turn to, I think it's Luke chapter 6. Verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, this is Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night, just Jesus and the Heavenly Father. Now, folks, if Jesus had to have time alone with God, the Heavenly Father, how much more us? We're so busy. Every slot, time slot of our day seems to be filled. And there's just no time to get alone with God. All night in prayer. When I was pastor, I used to have men's all-night prayer meetings. Not very often, maybe only three a year or a couple a year. You said, what do you mean, preacher, all-night prayer meeting? It was an all-night prayer meeting. We prayed all night. Now, we started usually around 9 o'clock at night because a lot of fellows worked on a Friday night. We start 9 o'clock Friday night. A lot of fellows work, give them time to get home and get cleaned up, refresh a little bit, and have a meal. Then we meet at the church, and we'd have a song or two. And then we'd have prayer as a group, and different men would pray. And as the time went on, then we divided up maybe smaller groups here around the church. And then we would divide it up to two and two. So two by two all around the church, and men would pray. And then we go get to be praying alone. One make an altar here, one will make an altar over there, another would be over here, there's another would be back there. And we would pray, not just in our hearts, we'd pray out loud. Because there's something, folks. Now, I can understand, and we do that, and we pray in our heart, and God hears us. I understand that. But when you voice your prayer audibly to God, I'll tell you something, it makes an impact on you and really what you're praying. And if people sometimes tell me, maybe you have this problem too, say, you know, I go to prayer and my mind drifts away. And I start thinking about this and I start thinking about that. You pray out loud, that'll help you to stay focused. After all, you're going down the road on a Michigan winter day, you hit that patch of ice, you pray out loud. You grab that wheel and say, Lord, help me. Right? And you're very conscious of that prayer. And we would pray. Pretty soon we would weep. And after we get over all the frivolous stuff, we start off, I mean, you know, oh Lord, you know, bless the missionaries, bless the church, God, clean up my life. But when all that stuff is all done, and we really get touched by God, all of a sudden the attitude changes. When you're praying all night, you get all that frivolous stuff and the fluffy stuff out, and you get down to reality. And men were weeping and crying. And you could hear various parts of the church all over the front and the side and the back. God, forgive me! God, I'm wicked! Oh, long time that sun come up Saturday morning, we were touched by God. A Sunday was not unusual for wives to come up to me and say, preacher, what in the world happened in that prayer meeting? I says, wives, my husband's a changed man. Why? He had the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Mark chapter 1. All night, Jesus was in prayer. In Mark, the first chapter, verse number 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. You know, there are some folks that don't know that the sun comes up gradual. I mean, they just wake up, boom, there's the sun, you know. Before. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, before the sun come up, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Again, Jesus got alone with the Heavenly Father. Yes, there were times he prayed with his disciples, no question about that. But there were times, many times, just him and God. Him and the Heavenly Father. And he prayed in that secret place. Oh, sometimes we stay up all night working, all night traveling, all night worrying, all night with some hobby or some parties. How about giving God some equal time? You've started a good thing. 48 hours of solid prayer. Is it over? Now, I'm not saying you have to get up 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning or a time slot, but I'm talking about the fervency of getting alone with God. See, when you start praying about 3 o'clock in the morning, guess what? Chances are your cell phone's not going to go off. Chances are you're not going to have a knock on the door. Chances are you're not going to be disturbed. And Jesus got up early before daylight to pray. We get up early to go fishing. We go up early to go to work. Sometimes to go on vacation. How about getting up early just to pray? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now notice that word dwell. It doesn't say he that visits the secret place. It doesn't say he that frequents it, he that dwells. Didn't the psalmist use that word? And I shall dwell in the house. I mean, I'm just going to go visit in and out, back and forth. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to live with Jesus. He that dwelleth in it. We're talking about a lifestyle here. As I said, last June 7th, my wife and I celebrated our 47th wedding anniversary. Some of you are got us beat. God bless you. We're catching up. But you keep jumping ahead every year, so I don't know if we ever will. But you know what it's like, those of us who have been married long around that time? You almost know what they're thinking. Right? Almost know what they're thinking. She could look at me and I'd say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. She says, what? Then we just said, yeah, that's right. That's what I wanted to do. Or she'll look at me, she says, uh-uh, don't even think of that. Yeah, she'll start a sentence and I'll finish it. And it would be right. Now, how does something like that happen? I mean, if we had gotten married, and she was from Florida at the time, and I was from Connecticut, and we had gotten married, and I said, honey, boy, that was a beautiful wedding. She was a beautiful bride, and she was. and I said, on a wonderful reception, look at all of this and everything. I said, this has been a great wedding day. You go back with your parents to Florida, and I'll go back to Connecticut. Would we still be married? Yeah, we'll be married. But would we know each other? How does that happen? We lived, dwelt with each other. How do you know the mind of God? You dwell with Him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I think God uses Moses to write this psalm because Moses knew what it was like that time in the desert alone with God. I'm not asking you, do you pray? I know you do. But what I am asking, to dwell constantly in the secret place of personal devotion before God. Tonight's message is not long. We have church tomorrow. You've been so faithful. And I see some of you coming in. You're tired. I am too. I had to work every night this week. Now I got to work the weekend too. No complaints, Lord. And I want you to get a good night's rest tonight. But you got the point tonight? Now, I said at the beginning of the message, so much of the songs were good tonight. I mean, I didn't orchestrate any of them, but we sang, what, there should be showers of blessing. We sang, and I just love that. There should be showers of blessing. Has God blessed you? Has God really blessed you? It's amazing, isn't it? How God blesses us. Let me just tell this quick story and we'll finish up here. I got to tell you this because some of you asked me about my boots tonight. These are ostrich boots. Ooh, I know. I did not buy them. I was preaching at a church in Texas and I met a man there and he came up to me and said, where y'all from?
I'm from Connecticut.
He goes, Connecticut. He leaves, walks over to the preacher. I overheard him. He said, preacher, why did you bring that Yankee down here? Yankees can't preach. Pastor says, let's give him a chance. So that night of the revival, his son got saved. Anybody could have one good sermon, he said. Come back the next night, his youngest daughter got saved. So he got lucky. The third night, go back, his middle daughter got saved and all three of them got baptized. He said, preacher, come here. We got to talk. He said, if you're going to preach in this church and God's going to use you like that, you can't be a Yankee. We're making you an honorary Texan. Gave me a certificate and everything. He come to church the next night. He asked me the night before, what size boots are you wear? I told him. And he brought these ostrich boots. Said, I want you to have, they are so nice and comfortable. They are really good. I mean, you're talking like about $800 boots. I don't wear them out too much. People mug me for my boots. Yeah. They're worth more than my wallet. And they're really comfortable. The only problem is every time I walk across sand, I get this irresistible urge to put my head down. But you're telling me God cannot bless? Spend time in that secret place. Now, that was for the song, The Shower is a Blessing. The offertory. You remember what it was? The pastor made mention of it. I'm sitting there with my wife. She's holding me down. I was jumping. I mean, I'm going to go preach right now. How long has it been? What am I preaching on tonight? That very thought. And prayer honey comes to the piano. That very thought. How long has it been? So, well, sometimes it's just a few hours. But you know what? A real prayer warrior, that's a long time. Because the Bible says pray without ceasing. Are we going to let that attitude of prayer, those 48 hours, just fade away? I'm not saying you're going to keep it up every other time slots. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. But some of you made a special effort to get along with God. Why? Because he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Getting close to God, how closer can you get than to be in his shadow? And that is by dwelling in the secret place of personal, devotional prayer. And so tonight, I want us to sing that song. How long has it been? A day? That's too long. Hours? Oh, that's too long. I don't want to be away from my wife at all. I want to be by my side 24 hours a day. If I have to be away for a day for a meeting or this or that, it grieves me and I miss her so much. But that's how I want to miss my personal prayer time with God, to have that longing. Honey, I didn't get the page number. What number was that? 398. Please, in your hymn book. We don't have normally sung invitation songs this week, and that's all right, but we do it when we want to, and we want to do it tonight. I want you to stand, please, if you will. Like I said, this was not orchestrated by me, but I believe was put together by God. And that second verse, how long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and will keep